Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Can you see it? Did you know?
Check, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
Moment's notice. Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes scores!
Yes, existence. Take you to listen.
First career NHL goal. Quinn Hughes makes it 1-0.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down Wednesday.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What I'll have.
Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Public display is that what you need?
They slayed the dragon.
Existence.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, all one word, hockey season. That will get you $5 off your order at Zephyr Epic, Zephyr Epic, on all platforms. Go check them out. They've got the website. They've got the retail location in Surrey. And like I said in the last episode with Brent Butt, go listen to it if you haven't yet, folks. You can use that promo code in person at their retail location as well. You go up to the cashier, whoever's working, and you say, Canucks Convo sent me here. I'm using promo code Hockey Season, or you just play back this part of the podcast. Trust us, we're sponsored by you if you don't know cashier. So, ZephyrEpic.com. Go check them out. The best part about Zephyr Epic, they've got you covered for all your trading card needs. Best part about Zephyr Epic, they ship free anywhere in Canada on any order over $50 from
Hell's Gate. Which is a great name. You ever been to Hell's Gate?
No, you know what? I was just reading about Hell's Gate just like a week ago.
I've driven through it. I think I've stopped and taken a picture at like the big, there's a big Hell's Gate sign. Anyways, from Hell's Gate, British Columbia to Hay River, Northwest Territories.
Nice.
We don't go into the territories very often.
No, we don't. We got to go to the territories a little more.
We are going to Hay River right now. Hay River, two sections in this town, quads of Hay River. They got the old section and the new section. New section. They got a high rise there in Hay River, actually.
Wow.
I saw a picture of it. Pretty tall. Hay River, which is hay, by the way. I'm not saying like, hey, hello, river. It's hay, like what you do on the farms.
What horses eat.
Horses and hay, yep. In 1948, the Canadian government built a road which is now known as the Mackenzie Highway, from Grimshaw, Alberta, to Hay River, Northwest Territories, making Hay River the first community in the Northwest Territories to be linked to Southern Canada. What do you think about that?
No, wait. Hang on a sec.
Road from the Northwest Territories into Southern Canada.
Okay, sorry. You said first. I thought you meant only. I was like, what? No,
no, the first one. Now. 1948.
Okay, yeah, okay, I believe that.
Gravel road at the time.
For some reason, in my brain, that clicked as it's the only way to get there. I'm like, no, that can't be.
The Mackenzie. Everybody knows Mackenzie Highway from Grimshaw to Hay River. That's how you get there from Alberta to Northwest Territories.
Okay, so let's go back to Hell's Gate for a second here.
Well, I'm not done with Hay River. Okay. They got a longtime NHLer from Hay River. Former two-time Canuck.
Don't tell me.
I don't think you're going to guess this. I'll give you some numbers on him and you can try and guess. 17 years in the NHL.
Okay.
1,104 games. Played for the Canucks in two different seasons. One in 1997-98. One in 2003-04. In the 97-98 season, he played 9 games. In the 03-04 season, he played 13 games.
Oh, come on.
So he's got two full seasons with the Canucks, and he played a total of 22 games. But his full career, 1,100 games. I used to think he was one of the fastest players back in the day. And in the NHL video games, like you're playing NHL 2000-2001, this dude was like one of the fastest players. He's more known, I think, as like a Columbus Blue Jacket. You want to know the name?
No, I got to get this. Columbus Blue Jacket.
From Hay River.
Okay, and the listeners can play along here. I wonder if any of the listeners have gotten it.
Spent a long time with Carolina as well. That's where he did the bulk of his scoring.
The bulk of his scoring.
And Hartford as well is where he started.
There's no way I'm going to get this.
Career began in 1990.
Give me the name.
Finished in 2007-2008 with the Edmonton Oilers.
Give me the name.
Jeff Sanderson.
Oh.
I always thought he was one of the fastest skaters. He's from Hay River, Northwest Territories.
Wow, okay. Yeah, so, wow. Okay.
I remember him.
I thought he played more games with the Canucks.
I did too, because I remember him being a Canuck.
Are you sure he's only played like
22 games total with the Vancouver Canucks? And I was like, oh, like the 1 year he was traded. In 03-04, he was traded from the Blue Jackets to the Canucks for the end of the season. But during the 97-98 season, he actually was traded twice. He started with the Carolina Hurricanes that year. Then he came to Vancouver for 9 games. Then he went to Buffalo for 26 games. Maybe he was on waivers. I don't have the things right in front of me here. But he played for 3 different teams that season and only 9 games with the Canucks in 97-98. Jeff Sanderson.
Wow.
Hay River, Northwest Territories.
Absolutely news to me. 50 years old, Jeff
Sanderson.
He used to take the
Mackenzie Highway down to Alberta, play hockey in Alberta.
Yeah, Swift Current Broncos. Wow. Yep. 112 points in his D+1 season.
Yeah, it's a couple of good years in the NHL. 89. Yeah,
he scored 46 points. Goals 1 year.
Yeah, man.
Goodness.
I remember Jeff Sanderson being quick.
Well, yeah.
Quick.
Look at these numbers.
Yeah. No joke.
Can someone reach out to us and explain what went wrong when he was a member of the Canucks?
Well, he was traded or picked up off waivers in the 97-98 season. Then
why
was he
on waivers?
At the end of the year. I think he was traded.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Traded from Vancouver to the Buffalo Sabres for Brad May and a 3rd-round pick.
There we go. That's a good deal.
Okay. Some then Columbus there. Traded him back to Vancouver for a round 3 pick in the 2004 draft. Okay. So I think that's where the problem comes. Because that was in the lockout season. Well, not really. I mean, 2 years later in Phoenix, he scored 25 goals, but he didn't do anything for Columbus.
He was quick. I remember him being quick, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Two-time Canuck, not a great career, though. 22 games.
People don't want to hear us talk about this anymore.
No, they want to hear us talk about DoorDash quads.
They do want to hear us talk about our friends at DoorDash, who were delivered by...
Ding dong.
Use promo code CONVODD, capital C, capital D's, all one word, CONVODD. That would get 25% off and free delivery on your first order with the DoorDash app. Does not get much better than that, folks. My name is Dave Quadrelli. I'm joined, as always, by the man who built the place, Chris Faber. We're here to talk on a very hot Friday afternoon. This will be going out Saturday morning.
I wish I could DoorDash another fan into this room here. We both have fans pointing right at us.
And it's not great.
Not doing well still. I got to go for a walk after this.
Why?
Because, you know, the fiance, she wants to get outside and blah, blah, blah. You want to all do stuff. She wants to go get a Dole Whip. You ever had those?
What's a Dole Whip?
Dole Whip is down in Steveston.
Okay.
You go get them. That's where I think this is where they might have originated from. And I don't know if they've originated from, but they know they're well known in Steveston for these things. And then they got the shout out Randy Janda. They got the Dud Soda version of it's a Screamer. I think that.
Oh, okay, I know.
You know
Screamer.
What I'm talking about?
Yeah,
they got
yeah.
the cream soda and ice cream. That's what I'm gonna get. I'll send a picture. I'll tweet out a picture at Randeep today.
Yeah.
Shout out to Randeep. He's living up in Italy or something. I think.
I think Spain.
Spain.
I think so.
All the same, he's over there at one of those places eating good food, watching F1. Shout out Randy, but I'm gonna have a Dud Soda version of a Screamer. That's my favorite one. The cream soda slushy with vanilla ice cream plopped right
wow.
into it. But she's getting the Dole Whip. This is like I don't know these Dole Whips. They're
what's a Dole Whip?
So you know like Dole, the Dole, like the company they do fruits in a can and stuff. Dole, come on, pineapples. They got the big Dole sticker on them.
No.
Dude, come on. Get outside, dude.
Oh, no, I know this. Okay, so, okay, yes, okay. I know
so they are well known. I'm pretty sure they're pretty well known for, like, pineapples.
Yes,
like, I
okay,
think that's
okay,
a big
sure,
Dole
sure.
thing. You got the big old sticker on them. You used yeah. to put them on your lunchbox when you were a kid. Probably,
I didn't.
Probably not. Yeah, that was past your time. But, yeah, it's like a, it's a whipped, sort of like a, I would say like a thicker smoothie.
Okay.
And it's a little sweeter, but it's like a pineapple mixed with ice cream, maybe, I'm
okay.
assuming. Maybe that's what the Dole Whip is, but yeah, we're going to get one in Steveston. Go down there. I like Steveston. You go. You don't go across the any of bridges or anything.
Nope.
You won't cross a
boundary
bridge
road,
for your life.
Baby. Boundary road.
But Steveston's nice. I like it out there. I'm going to go out there Friday night tonight, and hopefully like 10 minutes. I want to go in there, get the whip. I want to get back in the AC in the car.
I'm going to a wedding tomorrow.
Yeah. What's the deal? Shorts? No?
Nope, no shorts. Burgundy suit. I told you this, and I'm wearing a bow tie.
So I bought this thing. Did I tell you about this clip already?
No.
Okay, so I got the wedding coming up next weekend where I'm a groomsman at.
Okay.
Ugh, so I can't pull off shorts, obviously. I'm a freaking groomsman. So I bought this thing online. Still hasn't came here. I don't know if it's going to get here because I think it's coming from like Tunisia or freaking somewhere over and across the world. But it's a clip that goes into your waistband, and it's like it shoots air up like a fan. Shoots it up the back of your shirt.
Get the...
Yeah.
You're messing with
no,
me.
No, I'm not even. My buddy sent me it on Instagram as like a joke. My buddy Steve, shout out Steve. He always sends me about 4 or 5 memes a day on Instagram. He's
there's no way this is going to work. Sorry, we're talking about your buddy Steve in a sec here, but
yeah.
There's no way this is going to work. So, sorry, explain
I don't know
this.
If
you put
get...
it in your waistband so it makes your waist bigger.
No, it's like a clip. So it's got a little clip on it. And then
okay.
it's like a, it almost looks like a, well, you don't know what this is, but like a pager.
What about when you sit down?
Well, I can take it out then, or I could just put it in the front, or, you know.
You got your shirt tucked in.
Yeah, but that's
I
what
hope.
I'm, yeah, I hope so too. Now that I think about it, I don't know how I'm going to clip it. I might clip it on the top and push it down. But anyways, I think it's like a little personal air conditioner, it says.
Yeah, okay. Blessing in disguise if this thing doesn't show up. That
well,
sounds
hey,
like a fire hazard.
Well, listen, I know people are going to be giving me crap at the wedding for sweating a whole bunch, but the pictures, you won't be able to see it because it's going to be clipped in there in the back.
Okay.
I think it's a good idea. He sent me this meme, and it was like as a joke he sent it to me because he knows I sweat all the time. And then I bought it within like a minute of him sending me this like message on Instagram with a video of it. And I said, like, yeah, that's super funny, but I actually bought it.
Have so, you looked up reviews? Because here's the thing.
No, I didn't even waste. I honestly.
This is so funny because we
I
are
bought
the
it
opposite.
So quick.
You make fun of me for this because I will walk into a store and they're like, do you need help with anything? I'm like, yes, I'm here for this item specifically.
Yeah.
Show me it. And you like, you know, you take like a week to decide if you're going to buy something, anything really, like anything big-ish. You're like, I need some time to think about
yeah,
it.
I'm
picked
a big
a couch,
review guy.
Like
huge
that.
Review.
Yeah, but then with this, you don't get a review?
There's certain things in Life Quads where you see something and you know you just want it.
I did like, that with a couch.
Yeah, but that's you didn't even sit on the couch by the time you bought it already.
No, I actually learned that from you because I was going to buy a couch online and you told me not to. And I took your advice. I did sit on my couch and I liked my couch.
Yeah, okay, well, this just makes sense, okay?
Okay.
The problem is, like I said, I don't know when the shipping's going to be. I'm going to get it in November. I'll probably still use it, but like...
Yeah, we'll have to see. I'm very curious about
this. I'll bring it in here with me if it works well. I'll stand up the whole podcast.
A little Patreon content there.
Yeah.
Okay. John Klingberg
signed
with the Anaheim Ducks. Did you
hear? Gee, him and Yolevi are going to be a wrecking ball on that second pairing.
Yeah, so I don't want to spend too much time talking about Olli Yolevi because I thought he was going to Finland. I thought it was over. I don't know. You know, it's a fifth overall pick. It's just teams. They have to all see for themselves, right? They have to see, be like, maybe we can make this player work because there's something there, maybe, when you look at his draft tape. But then all the injuries, you feel bad for Olli Yolevi, but I just... I don't know, unless he somehow became more mobile, you know, in better shape as well. That's something that's going to be pointed at now. You know, I don't see any world where Ollie Olevi's playing anything resembling regular NHL minutes. I don't care about, you know, bottom pair, anything. I don't think Ollie Olevi, even in Anaheim, I don't think he's getting the opportunity.
I think he'll end up getting a chance again. I mean, he's not...
Someone will claim him on waivers. It'll be the same as last year. Someone will claim him on waivers, try him
out.
You
said
like
that
Detroit
wouldn't happen
did.
Last year.
No, now I'm convinced that NHL teams are going to just keep trying. And until he's played for every NHL team, he's going to keep playing. Because all of them need to see it for themselves. That's what they're all looking at. They're all saying, well, maybe we could do something with this. And they see him play and they decide, no,
yeah,
this
like
isn't going to work.
Top five defensemen are like a bad boy in a TV show where it's like, I can fix him. You know,
yeah.
I'm the right fit for him. I can
exactly.
fix him. Yo, Levy's that guy. I don't know. We're not going to change this whole conversation to Ollie Olevi because, yeah, Klingberg, I guess.
That's the big
news. We were thinking that maybe the Canucks, in some form or fashion, would be able to move around some cap space and maybe give him that one-year deal. Because that's the thing. He gets a one-year deal with Anaheim. Now it's like, you know, I wonder if we're at that point with other free agents, though, too. Like, hey, like Tyler Motte's still out there. Tyler Motte's probably looking for, you know, $2.5+ million. Doesn't look like he's going to be able to get that. We'll be interested to see the Canucks like a guy like Tyler Motte. But, like, there we go. Another winger added to the group. Like, they don't need any more wingers at this point.
No Cactus Club in New York.
This is true. They'll probably work on that soon. Cactus Club will grow over there. Big growth in Cactus Club last year. I've been doing my research here. But I think that with Klingberg, like, yeah, it would have been like an opportunity for it to be a fit with the Vancouver Canucks. He's obviously a good puck mover. Would have been nice to see a puck mover play with Quinn Hughes. I personally just think that it wouldn't have been a great fit looking at all like the other players that play. Like, I don't think he would have been a great fit with Hughes or OEL, you know,
really
Jack Rathbone. I don't know. I wouldn't have been like, is it weird that I would prefer Tyler Myers at $6 million and Klingberg, I think
for 2 years over Klingberg at one.
I don't know. I think that,
are you being for real?
I think defensively you saw a lot from Tyler Myers last year. I don't know.
You're joking.
Dude, I don't know.
I'm like the biggest Tyler Myers supporter in the entire media, and you're for real giving this take.
I just think for fit wise, like I don't see a great fit. I didn't see a great fit with Tyler Myers either.
How many times? Well, that's what I was gonna say. How many times have we talked about how there's no fit for Tyler Myers? And how, you know, we've talked about OEL moving to the right side to play with Hughes, but Tyler Myers here, like
there was a fit though last year. Like
sure,
there
was a fit,
well.
But what did it amount to? It amounted
to a second pairing that looked like an NHL pairing.
And you don't think Klingberg can at least provide that, plus a lot more?
I don't know. I have some worries about Klingberg and
for
his own
one
zone
year,
as he gets older.
For 1 year. You're banking on Tyler Myers for the next 2 years.
If you
based
gave
off-
me the 100% chance, like, I'm just saying, I'm not, like, curdled over crying because the Canucks weren't able to get Klingberg because they have a guy with Tyler Myers who does a lot
course.
Of similar things.
Sure. But
and they already made... I wouldn't say a mistake, but they made a commitment to Tyler Myers.
No, exactly. I'm saying, though...
You would have had to move, you know, give an asset to move to make this happen for Klingberg. I'm just not super worried about
it. No, you don't need to move... You don't need to add an asset to Tyler Myers to move that deal.
I don't know.
I don't think you do. And listen, there were talks that the Canucks were trying to move Tyler Myers at the draft. Even some people suggesting that the Islanders trade that fell through wasn't really around J.C. Miller. It was around Tyler Myers. And obviously, the Islanders go out and get Romanov after that. But... Tyler Myers would have been the kind of, I guess, catalyst to make a Klingberg signing in Vancouver work, right? If Tyler Myers gets moved, and again, I don't think that the Canucks would have been able to grab Klingberg at 1 year for $7 million because Klingberg fired his agent, longtime agent. I believe Peter Wallin is his name, and he signed with Newport Sports, who are notorious for being one of the toughest agencies to negotiate with, representing Bo Horvat, Brandon Sutter, the list goes on, but Bo Horvat's obviously the key one for Canucks fans there. But with Klingberg, he switches to Newport, and then the strategy is clearly, this is a one-year show-me deal where he's not signing with a contender, so best-case scenario, he loves it in Anaheim. Jamie Drysdale does really great things with Klingberg on a first pairing there. You know, they obviously still got Cam Fowler, no disrespect to him. They've got a lot of different pieces down there in Anaheim, but they're not really a contending team. So to me, it's quite clear that the thought process of the Klingberg camp with this deal is this is a one-year deal where you're probably going to get moved at the deadline. There's no trade protection, and I think that's by design. You're going to get moved to a contender at the deadline who's looking to add. So Anaheim gets to recoup some young assets and some futures that's going to help them in their rebuild and help them accelerate in the Pacific Division. So that's another thing that we have to keep an eye on that we'll talk about, I'm sure, a lot down the line. But they trade him for assets. Klingberg goes to a contender. They're hoping he shows well and then signs an extension there. Like, that's to me, what the strategy is here. Rather than signing, let's say, a three-year $7 million deal or a three-year six, whatever it is, right? Whatever the number is, rather than signing for longer than one, that's the strategy here, is just you sign for 1 year, you get to show everybody that you can still play, right? Like, you're going to get to play with Jamie Drysdale. So he's looking at a scenario where, yeah, maybe I can play with this talented puck-moving defenseman and, you know, show well again and let teams know that I can still play, and Anaheim gets to have that young defenseman in Drysdale, you know, get the rope shown to him by Klingberg, right? And I think that's how I look at this deal, is it's just Klingberg's getting moved at the deadline. So, again, I'm not trying to say when I laugh at you for saying you'd rather have Tyler Myers at 2 years for $6 million than Klingberg for $7 million at 1 year. I'm not trying to say, well, the Canucks could have just done that. Even if they moved Myers, I don't think that's an offer that's available to him, because there's no guarantee that Klingberg's going to be in a position to be dealt at the deadline if he signs with the Canucks. Like, I think the Canucks are looking at being in a playoff spot at the trade deadline, and there's a bunch more problems that come with that with the JT Miller trade situation, obviously, but we're not going to talk about that right now. If he signs in Vancouver, I don't think it's at this dollar figure, and I don't think it's for 1 year. I think you're looking at a completely different contract if Klingberg signs in Vancouver. So I don't think this is a scenario where it's, what, the Canucks couldn't have matched that? Like, I just don't think that was on the table for them. But come on, if it was, Chris, if it was on the table and you were able to move Tyler Myers, you're able to get out from that number, especially in the last year of that contract, you're able to get out of that. You're really taking Myers for 2 years over Klingberg at one,
million? No, what I'm saying is you would have had to get the process through of getting rid of Tyler Myers to move on.
But
to Klingberg.
Let's say you're getting a third round pick back for Tyler Myers.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just think that,
I think that's a positive asset. Like, I think that's a positive value asset. I do.
Going into, like, if you, how much more are you taking Klingberg going into, like, getting the Canucks to a playoff role than Tyler Myers? Like,
I think he's a much better defenseman than Tyler Myers. I don't care what the analytics say. Much like I don't care what the analytics say with Tyler Myers. I don't care. Because, look, I think it was Tom that threw this out miraculously. But he said, like, look, everybody, and not everybody, but a lot of people in the analytics community call Tyler Myers replacement level or whatever they say, right? If he's replacement level, why does he keep playing top 4 minutes for basically every coach that's had him, right? Like, I understand he hasn't looked great in a lot of situations, and I buy the analytics a lot, right? Like, I do. It's not like I'm trying to be like, I test for real, but Tyler Myers isn't as bad of a defenseman as everybody makes him out to be, but come on. John Klingberg's a better defenseman than Tyler Myers. Like, that's a no-brainer. I think he's better defensively. I think he's better with the puck on his stick. I think he has a much better defensive IQ and offensive IQ than Myers does. I take Klingberg over Myers any day of the week. And I like Myers.
Yeah, I know. No, I just don't know about the fit, no, the way that he plays. Like, I think that having the size, having the skating ability, I still would be like, if I'm really in the Canucks position and you're paying $1 million more to get Klingberg for this season to make the playoffs, I don't know. It's not a slam dunk for me that
he's
this player.
I'm not even saying it's just to make the playoffs. I'm also saying maybe you could flip him at the deadline. Like, I'd say the Canucks, if they're doing the process correctly, they are in a position where they're still looking for future assets. And if they had the cap space to do it, again, not really this management regime's fault, if they had the cap space to do it, the Canucks could have done this move, and, you know, maybe it's for a second year. Maybe there's something else that comes with it. Like, maybe it's a higher dollar amount. We don't know. I don't want to just say they could get him for 1 year at $7 million, because I truly don't think that would be on the table for the Vancouver Canucks. But look, like, I think if they do the process correctly, you're not looking at it as a, this is just to get us into the playoffs. This is a move where you can flip them at the deadline, whether it be this year, next year, or whatever it is. You flip them at the deadline and get some real future assets if he flourishes alongside Quinn Hughes. When you talk about fit, the way I look at it is,
I'll say that maybe there's a better fit with Klingberg there than Tyler Myers for Hughes, just because
how about
of
Luke Shen, because that's
also
who he's paired with.
But at the same time, like, I haven't seen enough of John Klingberg to be like, oh, but no, he's really good at staying in his own zone defensively. From the stuff that I read about him, he's not. And I think you play him with him or Oliver Ekman-Larsson in your top four. I don't know if that's a better choice than Tyler Myers or
Quinn
Luke
Hughes.
Shen.
Neither is Quinn Hughes. It's staying in his own end, but I'd rather have two Quinn Hughes than a Quinn Hughes with anybody else.
Yeah, everyone would rather have two Quinn Hughes.
Well, that's my point.
Klingberg isn't a Quinn Hughes, though.
So who cares? He's still good at moving the puck, and he can change his game. He has that defensive IQ. Like, let's not forget, this was a top-tier defenseman not that long ago. If we're going to sit here and defend OEL for 6 or 7 years, whatever it is.
I don't think we are doing that.
No. But I'm saying if we're going to do that, and we have done that before, we both have. If we're going to do that, what are we even talking about here where we're saying, oh, Klingberg at 1 year, you can't do that over Tyler Myers. You're getting out of the second year of that Myers deal. Like, look, I like Tyler Myers. He played well last year, but are we confident that he can do even what he did last year, which wasn't putting the world on fire? If he can do that for the next 2 years, I still take Klingberg at 1 year. I still do it.
Yeah, I think...
And I don't think Myers is going to stay at that level for
no,
the next 2 years.
No, because I look at it as like, hey, you could deal Myers at this deadline. You could deal him at next deadline as well. And it's a safer bet that the Canucks don't make the playoffs this year than I think they do next year. So, yeah, if you're in that situation, I think there's a lot of ways that it would be Klingberg. I just look at him right now playing on this Canucks team. I don't think he's that much of an upgrade on Tyler Myers. I don't even know if he is an upgrade.
He's an upgrade. I don't know if about that much. Sure, I'll give you that. I don't know if he's a huge upgrade, but he's an upgrade. Come on.
All right. Especially, well, he's going to go to Anaheim. Number. He's going to have a great defensive partner in Olia Levy. He'll rip it up. He'll go get a big deal. Yeah. And they'll retain half. He'll be 3.5 playing on a playoff team next year, and he'll make us all look stupid.
Okay. In a similar light, Chris, speaking of making us all look stupid, Jim Rutherford, his evaluation of Tucker Pullman. There are some question marks with Pullman's health. That's what Rutherford had to say on the Bob McCown podcast when he joined it. But like Rutherford said that this is a guy we think can play in our top four. I'm really curious where they get that evaluation from, like who they're speaking to or if they're watching old tape on Pullman. Because like if memory serves correct, we've already tried Tucker Pullman in a top four role. Didn't work with Hughes. Didn't work with OEL. Right? Like, am I taking crazy pills or is that not exactly what happened?
No, didn't work under Travis Green with those guys in the top four. Obviously.
So you think Travis Green was the problem?
I think Travis Green's a problem for a lot of things. It might have, like, we haven't seen Tucker Pullman play under Bruce Boudreau's system.
That's fair.
I think that that makes a big difference. Obviously, do you see those numbers come up about Elias Pettersson and his play under Green? And obviously, I think the wrist is a big part of that as well, but just seeing where he was attempting shots from.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting to see the change what Bruce Boudreau can bring. I didn't hate Pullman last year in a bottom pairing role, and if he can bring that, I think that's a nice little addition.
Sure, but we're talking
Vancouver
top four here. Like,
well, we're not doing that. Jim Rutherford's saying that.
That's
and listen,
a good point. That's a good point.
He's got to back his guy, right?
Yeah, like that's
he,
fair.
If this is something that he kind of needs to say. I think that you're seeing a lot of the way that the messaging is coming out from upper management here of just like, you know, how consistent they are at saying that like JT Miller is our best player. He was our best player last year. You know, this guy's a top four player. It's like, yeah, they're positioning themselves to try and maybe not make it sound so bad when they have to make a move here, or just kind of making it sound like they're trying to raise the value in some of these players when this stuff gets out in the media. So I don't know. I think it's still like the fact that we're what, 1 month, 6 weeks away from training camp pretty much, or a little longer than that, maybe 2 months. I don't know. Whatever the day. What day is it
coming
today?
Fast.
It's almost August.
It's almost a month, a little more than a month.
So, I mean, training camp's not that far away. Maybe 2 months away. I don't know. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? I think that because that we're not at a point right now, like we've seen general managers talk about head injuries in the past, and there's been a lot more optimism, you know, 2 months away from training camp than we're hearing, I think, right now about Tucker Pullman. I think it was good to hear that there have been no setbacks, but we've seen this story play out before and how head injuries are just so brutal to deal with for an NHL player. I don't know. I don't know what the future of Pullman is. I hope he can get back to playing and, you know, be able to do what he probably loves and play hockey, but it doesn't look great or sound great to me right now.
Obviously, we're hoping for the best for Tucker Pullman, but like also to Rutherford's credit, I don't want to make it sound like Rutherford was coming out and saying, our defense is fine. We have Tucker Pullman to play top 4 minutes. You know, he was saying like, we didn't change the defense the way we hoped we could. He was very honest about that. He said like, to do things, you need a partner. And the Canucks haven't really been able to find a partner. And
the quote he also said was like, we could win with this defense.
No, he said this defense we could win with.
That's what I'm saying. He said,
I know that's
exactly
what you said, but he also, in context, was talking about how the forward group is great and their goaltender can bail them out a lot. So they think they can win with this defense. They just did it, right? Mm. But when he said win, I think he means win games and maybe get into a playoff spot. I don't think Rutherford's evaluating this and saying, this is a cup contending defense. I think we're all kidding ourselves if we think that's what Rutherford meant.
No, I think so too.
What does win mean is what I'm trying to say.
I did find it interesting that that was the way that he worded it anyways, and maybe that's a slip of the tongue or whatnot, but yeah, I think like Pullman would really help the defense in a certain degree if he's able to be healthy, come in and maybe play on a pairing with whether it be a Travis Dermott or a Jack Rathbone. Like that's a third pairing that you're pretty happy with.
I actually
if he's
don't
healthy.
Hate a Rathbone Pullman third pair. I think that's fine.
And that's, man, like, I don't know. I look back at the Dermott deal and I'm like, with a third round pick would have been something better for the Canucks right now when you have Jack Rathbone pushing for this spot. There's a chance he's likely on the bench to start the, like up in the eating popcorn in the press box to freaking start here. Like,
well, here's the other thing, Chris, because
what's Dermott now? Like, you trade a third round pick for this guy, it's like it would have been nice to add another type of like defenseman like Elias Pettersson you just added in the draft. That's you know, there's a good hope in that player getting something down the road. I don't, like, I'm not saying he's gonna be an NHL player, but at least it would have been another swing. With Dermott, you kind of know what he is, and he's not gonna play top four for the Canucks when you have OEL and Quinn Hughes, because I don't think they're gonna move him to the right side to play top four.
No. And so I understand what you're saying, because look, like, Rutherford on that same interview spoke about Jack Rathbone and how he deserves to be in Vancouver, and he's going to be, basically, is what Rutherford said. So we're gonna get to it in the second half of this episode. Our lineups. Mine has Jack Rathbone in it. And I don't wanna talk about it too much, but I think you'll be surprised to see who's on the outside, because you're kind of making a good point here that Dermott is kind of in a weird spot where it looked like the organization was kind of taking a flyer on him and saying maybe there's some top four upside that he just wasn't able to get in Toronto. And but then you look at their top four and it's like, if Ekman-Larsson moves to the right side, that's the only way Dermott's playing the left side. And I don't know. We'll get to it on the other side. But first, we need to hear from our sponsors, because Chris, it's time for our listeners to hashtag get Montana's messy. Before we go any further into the episode, we have to give a quick shout out to our friends at Montana's. Montana's is the barbecue expert in Canada. They smoke their ribs in-house every day, and then they sauce and fire grill them to order. Montana's legendary all-you-can-eat ribs promotion is on now, 7 days a week until the end of summer. Come in for all-you-can-eat ribs and get Montana's messy to win weekly prizes. Chris, do you have a little Montana story for us?
I tell you, go get the apple butter barbecue sauce, the best sauce they got there. And listen, the ribs are great. Do the all-you-can-eat ribs. But if you're not in the mood for ribs, four cheese spin dip. They got an incredible spinach dip in Montana's. You know it. And you can find the barbecue sauce at the store as well. Take home a bottle with you.
There you
apple,
go.
Apple butter barbecue. Excellent stuff.
So be sure to go visit Montana's, where they have certified smoke and grill masters doing all of the barbecuing, with 7 locations throughout British Columbia.
Shout out Nanaimo.
Including Nanaimo, British Columbia, Langley, Tawasin, Prince George, Victoria, Fort St. John, and Kelowna. Be sure to go check out Montana's Barbecue and Bar today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And a massive thank you to all of our sponsors here at the Canucks Conversation Podcast. Folks, We're going to talk about forward lines.
Well, first, you are Sunday. You're listening to this on Saturday. You're in Nanaimo, my hometown. You go down to Bowen Park, get some free ribs, some rib sampling down there from Montana. Shut up, Montana's. Apple butter barbecue sauce.
Go check them out. I was heartbroken to find out they closed down the Coquitlam Center location. Dude, I lost an Arby's and a Montana's in Coquitlam Center. Like, what are we doing here? What happened to cuisine?
Yeah, bad decisions.
Yeah.
Montana's is a good decision. There you go.
You can go to Montana's.
Clean it up here.
Langley, Tawasin, those are the ones that we'll be hitting up.
Yeah.
Okay.
They got nachos there. Speaking of, let's get to the Atlas Goods poll question real quick.
Oh, yeah, because you guess tried what? The nachos.
Yep. Go ahead. Ask me, Quads. Have I tried them?
Have you tried the nachos?
Yep. I've tried the pork rind nachos.
From our friends at Atlas Goods. Should I get to the poll question first, and then we'll talk about the nachos after the poll question?
Yeah, okay. Get to the poll question, and then... And then I'll tell you. Well, okay, poll question first. I'll talk about the nachos. Let's go.
Okay. So it's time for our episode 283 Atlas Goods poll question. Go to locally owned and operated atlasgds.com. Use promo code CC15 to get 15% off your first order of pop rinds. Folks, these are the best fresh pork rinds straight out of your air fryer. We've seen people do a lot of things with them. Most popular, I would say, is to put popcorn seasoning on them, right? So you go get your favorite flavor. I got the dill pickle one at home. You sprinkle that on the original flavor pork rinds, right? After you've put them in the microwave, of course. But what I find really interesting, Chris,
or is the air fryer. Air fryer is the way to do it.
Exactly. Microwave is like if you're looking for a quick snack, which is usually what I'm doing.
The air fryer only took 2 minutes.
Well, yeah, but then you got to clean the air fryer. That's my big problem. I got this giant air fryer.
Yeah, but no, you put down a little bit of the aluminum foil. You barely got to clean your air fryer.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. So... air fryer or microwave, it doesn't matter. Air fryer tastes better according to Faber. And it does. But they're good anyway you make them. Use promo code CC15, 50% off your first order of pop rinds. Use the popcorn seasoning on the original. Get any flavor you want. They've also got flavored ones. So I've tried the bacon. The bacon flavor is fantastic.
That's what I had the other day. Okay, we're talking about the nachos. We'll get to the poll.
Yeah, so you made the nachos. Go ahead.
Okay, so what I did instead of using the seasoning, I put the taco seasoning from like Old El Paso or
whatever. Oh, yeah.
So I put that right on.
Old El Paso?
Yeah, what's it called?
Old Del, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's Old El Paso.
Old El?
Yeah.
Oh, because El Paso's a place.
Yeah, there's no Del in there. It's on a computer.
Wow.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even cut that. People get to hear that.
No, you know, and that's the problem. Sometimes we say something so stupid. I said something the other day we had to cut that was really good.
Who usually says those things?
Normally me, but once we're on YouTube here pretty soon live.
We're both going to have some moments.
There's going to be a couple moments. We got the dump button ready to go pretty quick. But we'll see. That'll be interesting. Live in September. 5 shows a week. Pump for that. Anyways. So I put the taco seasoning on, and then I put the cheese on, and I probably took a little bit too long to put the cheese on, so it didn't fully melt. Like some of it got warm and like sort of melted. Plus, it was like 38 degrees out, so it was melting on its own. Anyways, it was damn good. Mixed it in the with some Trader Joe's salsa from the States. That's the good stuff, man. It's just like tell you what, if I'm gonna have soup, it's gonna be Trader Joe's salsa. That's the good stuff. That and a little bit of sour cream. It was excellent. I highly recommend it. The nachos were great. And I don't know why it took me so long to do it. It was so easy. It took me 5 minutes maybe total from like cooking it and everything. It's ridiculous.
I think that's what I'll be having tonight.
The nachos are good, yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Well, you're a free man this weekend. You got no lady around the house, right? You're going to be living it up, eating nachos, breakfast, lunch, and dinner probably.
Going to a wedding too this weekend. Yep. So that should be interesting. Big Italian wedding. Going to be a lot of fun.
What's your favorite thing to do around the house when the lady's gone?
I just play a bunch of video games. But I do that when she's there, too.
Yeah. Well, that's true, too.
I'm almost done my big Lego set, my big Daily Bugle set that I've been working on for a couple months.
I've seen that on the Instagram.
Yeah, there, it's coming along. It's almost done. I've got 2 bags to go.
There you go.
Yeah, so I'll be finishing that next week. Okay. Very excited. Okay.
All right, poll question.
Our poll question today, again, Atlas Goods, promo code CC15. Go check them out. Locally owned and operated company out of Surrey, British Columbia. Who is most likely to score 30 goals next year? Elias Pettersson, Brock Besser, Bo Horvat, and as always, I'm Angry Chris. Leading the vote with 74% is Elias Pettersson, followed shortly thereafter, well, not really shortly, Brock Besser with 15%, Bo Horvat with 6%, I'm Angry with 5%. Now, I don't pick on you when you make a bad poll question, so I'm just going to say, let's say what we should have written is probably who's most likely to score 30 goals first, because I think a lot of people, rightfully so, pointed out that all three of these guys are probably going to pot 30 next year.
Okay.
I said Brock Besser. I said Brock Besser is going to be the first. That's how I read the question. Brock Besser is going to be the first to score 30 goals. I really think we're going to see a new level of Brock Besser next year, especially when you consider these forward groups that we're going to be outlining soon.
Yeah, no, I'd feel pretty good about Brock Besser this being the year, right? Everything's kind of setting it up to make it feel like this is the year for Brock to finally do it. He scored 29 before. He's never been a 30-goal scorer. I think this is the year for him to get to 30 as well. I think Pettersson, under Bruce Boudreau, on one of the best power plays in the NHL, really becoming the guy. You know, whatever happens with JT Miller, whatever happens there will be interesting. I think that'll impact how much Pettersson scores as well, especially on the power play. But I hope this is the year Pettersson starts push for 40, right?
Yep.
And let's not forget, like, he had 32 goals last year.
Exactly.
And it felt like half the year it was a really down year for Pettersson. You know, he's battling wrist injury, didn't have a contract coming into camp. If I was betting on this, it would be Pettersson getting 30 for sure. I would be interested to see, like, next year. That's going to be a fun story to follow. Is that the year Pettersson gets to 40? Because even in a down year, it felt like last year, there was times where he was excellent. He was just incredible. We saw him live up to the potential that a lot of people hope for. Played a lot of games last year looking like a 40-goal scorer. So it'll be interesting to see if he can get to 40 even next year.
I don't think this is going to happen, but I do want to say this. If Pettersson starts out of the gate slow again this year, he's not going to have a wrist to... And I'm not saying he put the blame on the wrist, although he did to some extent, but I'm not saying it was a BS excuse or anything like that. But if Pettersson comes out of the gate slow this year and then turns it on the second half like he did last year, this is where he will start to get the reputation, and some people have already given it to him, of being a slow starter. This will be the year where he actually gets that reputation, and probably rightfully so.
Yeah, if
he
slow starter slow scored year. 10 goals in his first 10 NHL games.
Well, if he does it this year, if he comes out slow, of course he's going to get that reputation. Are you kidding me? He's a rookie. Nobody knows about him.
You got to bring Nikolai Goldobin in first 10 games. You play him with Petey.
Sorry. So I'm just going to say a big reason that happened is because nobody knew about him. Right? Like, he was playing with Goldobin and Eriksson on the Canucks, like, third line or second line, whatever it was. Right? Nobody knew about Elias Pettersson back then. People know about him now. People are rightfully so.
But he's also gotten better.
Absolutely.
He's a lot better than the player he was then.
So what I'm saying, Chris, I'm not saying he has to score 10 and 10 to be, you know, great again. I'm saying if he has a slow start again where he, you know, goes 30 games with 13 points or whatever it was, if he does that again, he's going to get that reputation. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm saying it's something to keep an eye on.
Sure. I think you're right. If it happens this year, you can give him that, but I think there's been some excuses in the past.
Absolutely.
That you could definitely
use. And again, excuse is such a gross word. We don't mean it in the sense of it's not legitimate. Like, it's a reason. It was a reason. Okay. We said we'd get to our lines, and I threw out defense. I kind of jumped the gun there.
Yeah,
you want to wait, because we got a long summer of content. So
yeah, everybody, all these podcasts are shutting down this past week.
It was pretty, yeah. I mean, it's fine. I get it to some extent, but...
this is where we pick up
someone,
the slack.
I know, someone commented, they're like, Canucks Convo is the only podcast I'm listening to right now. I was like, oh, that's really nice. And then they're like, oh, yeah, but it's only because everybody else is gone. I was like, oh, we'll take it, but... Thanks anyway, folks.
Hey, we like the summer podcast.
We do. It's a little hot, but that's okay. Next week's supposed to rain. That'll be nice.
I'll tell you, I can't wait for the rain. We're going to be podcasting out in the rain here pretty
soon. Yeah, get some raincoats
holding
on.
Holding up the speakers and
outside. Maybe Montana's live on location. Get Montana's messy.
You think? Yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
Eat
some ribs while recording.
Be a nice little break there doing...
Yeah. ASMR rib eating.
All right, you and your ASMR, you want to get the
Addison Rae.
Your Addison Rae's and your ASMRs and your TikTok accounts here.
Okay.
You see, let's get to our forward group. I'm cruising through my TikTok the other day. I see you freaking tapping a mic going. I said, what the hell is going on here?
Meanwhile, you're trying ASMR to our listeners.
I'm over on the YouTube channel doing 5K views. You're over on the TikTok freaking 45 views on the TikTok. It's like, who the hell is this guy with his shirt off tapping the mic?
Okay. Can we get to the lineups, please? Can we get to this? Because this is your idea, and it was a good idea. I'm going to write a little companion article on CanucksArmy.com about this. And we got some good stuff up there, as always, right now on Canucks Army. Okay, so we'll get to our lineup here, Chris. Do you want me to go first?
I'm thinking I want it to kind of be in the same format because, to me, first and second line, I think with the Canucks, it's like there is sort of a first line, but let's do it like we're doing Pettersson, Miller, Horvat down the middle, right? Do we want to do it in that order of, like, our lines? Because to me, Pettersson centering is the first line. Miller centering is the second line. Horvat centering is the third line. Do we want to just kind of stick with that format? We're good with that?
Sure. I think my lineup has that. I don't have the lotto line reuniting unless bleep hits the fan. Or, you know what? It's also, and I'll say this now, My line is also considering the fact that you can throw out the Lotto line and you also have a Horvat line that you can load up as well. And instead of having like what we've seen in past years where it's just the Lotto line going out or they throw Horvat down there and you know, maybe Besser was sitting on the bench at that time and they just throw their gunners out there. I think you have two lines that you can now do that with. So I think the Canucks can really be a force late in games.
I'll let you go and I'll just... I'll question your decisions as we go here. You can start.
Do you want me to go top three lines?
Go through four if you got if you got four ahead.
Do you want me to just give them to you all? Okay, yeah, so first line.
I'll just question you as you go.
And my thought process here is this is your matchup line. Okay, I have Ilya Mikheyev with Elias Pettersson and Brock Besser. Real quick, I'll give the reasoning. I think having a speedster like Mikheyev, who is responsible two way, is what you want in a first-line player. I think he can really flourish with Elias Pettersson. I think if you're going to maximize Mikheyev's value, it's by putting him with Elias Pettersson. And I think that's not even going to be something where it's you're hampering Elias Pettersson at all, because I look at the other wing options, and I do think Mikheyev's the one that complements Pettersson best. I think Garland probably wants to try to create too much, and I don't think that's what you want. I think you want Mikheyev, you know, being that kind of outlet pass for Elias Pettersson where he can really create space because of his speed and then find Elias Pettersson. Again, I think Elias Pettersson's going to be able to find Mikheyev for some backdoor tap-ins. I think you have Brock Besser on the other side of that line, and Brock Besser's your trigger man. I think, again, like I said, I'm expecting big things from Brock Besser this year. Chris, that's my first line for the Vancouver Canucks.
All right, one question about it. For me, if that's your line, that's your first line, a lot of the offense needs to come from transitional offense, fast break, 3-on-2s, 2-on-1s. Is that what you're kind of leaning on for there? Because I that line in the offensive zone might not be the best trio running like a cycle. Line feels like it's the quick strike offense.
This is the line that is shutting down other teams' line and is quick striking offense. You're right. And Elias Pettersson, let's face it, folks, he's the best defensive center on the Canucks, and you're lying to yourself if you think anything different.
Okay.
That's kind of harsh. There's this discussion.
No, for sure. No, I'm with you.
Yeah. I'm not trying to say no.
So shut the hell up. Yeah,
but Elias Pettersson is, in my mind, the best defensive forward on the Canucks. I don't think it's really close.
Okay, I don't think it's the... Yeah, my line's different, but I'll let you keep going. What's your second line? Let's go with the Miller line.
Yeah, the Miller line. I've got Andre Kuzmenko, JT Miller, and Vasily Podkolzin. Now, I actually view this line as a secondary scoring line. I'm not viewing it as a line that's getting, you know, crazy top six matchups. I'm viewing it as a secondary scoring line. You're going to be rolling three lines consistently, I think. So I don't even want to put these in a 1-2-3 almost. This is just a line that I've put in my mind. I think you have Vasily Podkolzin playing with JT Miller. Those two have showed well in the past. Yep. You've got Andre Kuzmenko playing with the Russian winger, who he's played with in SKA. Not on the same line, obviously. Nope. I know, Chris. He only played there one game during
the COVID
shutdown.
You're on here on friggin' radio telling everyone that.
Whatever. Anyways, Vasily Podkolzin and Andre Kuzmenko getting to play together. Podkolzin helped recruit Kuzmenko to Vancouver. That's kind of a sidebar that I want to throw out. And then I've got Tanner Pearson, Bo Horvat, and Connor Garland on my third line, Chris. And again, I'm not even saying this is like... I don't want to go through and say who I have doing matchups and everything, but I do think that my most responsible line probably that I would put as a matchup line is Elias Pettersson with Mikheyev and Besser. But you can put all three of these lines, really, if you think about it.
A little curious. You call the Miller line like a scoring line. You're probably your big scoring line at that point, yeah, if you're saying Pettersson's getting the matchups. But you're putting Kuzmenko on that line instead of Garland.
Yes, and the reason I'm doing that
is because... You have high hopes for Kuzmenko here, well, obviously, because Garland's a 5-on-5 creator.
So not only do I have high hopes for Kuzmenko, I also view Kuzmenko as a really good defensive forward in the neutral zone especially.
Yeah.
And I think if you can put JT Miller specifically with someone, because JT Miller likes to do that thing where he kind of hangs at the blue line, the opposing blue line. Once he gets a fast break, he's off to the races, right? Like, how many goals did JT Miller score last year where we saw him kind of, not cherry-picking, but, you know, wanting to hit the line with speed? And right. I think Kuzmenko being able to disrupt and, you know, create plays. He's a playmaker, right? Seeing Kuzmenko able to feed JT Miller, I think that's where the thought process is there.
That trio that you have on your second line, Podkolzin, Miller, Podkolzin, Miller, Kuzmenko.
Yeah.
That's like from seeing the ability and the plays that they make in a neutral zone defensively, that is a nice trio.
I also think Podkolzin's going to take a step in all three zones.
I think Podkolzin's taking a huge step. And even like the interview that he just did where he was like, if I converted like a little bit more, I'm a 20-goal scorer. And he's bang on, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, look at it last year. Like, I look at Rathbone being very unlucky. I look at Höglander being very unlucky. But Podkolzin as well, like, it felt like there was times where he should have had even a few more easy goals as well. So, I'm expecting Podkolzin to get to 20. But you're
so... My third line.
Third line. Yeah.
I may be overthinking this, Chris, but I have drawn it out in my head exactly how I want these guys to forecheck. Okay, so hear me out. Try and stay with me here, folks. I know this isn't great podcast stuff, but
third line of Tanner Pearson, Bo Horvat, Connor Garland.
Yes,
you're saying
okay. Yes, and the reason that I say Tanner Pearson, Horvat, Garland on my third line or whatever line. I don't even, again don't want to say 1, 2, 3. A line of Tanner Pearson, Bo Horvat, and Garland. I call this my smart guy forechecking line, Chris. That's how I refer to this line. Because in my mind, I have Connor Garland going in deep as F1, okay? And that's because, to me, he's the fastest of this trio, right? You could even have Bo Horvat, but you preferably want Bo Horvat hanging back a bit because, you know, he's your center. You're gonna want him defending. Obviously, I rate Bo Horvat probably as one of the best defensive forwards on this line, although Pearson's not bad either. So's Garland, and I know it's kind of a myth that Horvat's this shutdown center, but you're not asking him to be. That's what I'm asking Elias Pettersson
getting
to do.
Bottom six matchups now.
I'm asking Horvat to hold his own and be that secondary scorer like we saw in the bubble. That's where I keep looking back at, Chris. I say the 2020 bubble when Bo Horvat exploded against St. Louis, that's because Pettersson was getting the matchups against Ryan O'Reilly. That's how I view this line. I view this line as my forechecking line, Chris, because Connor Garland's going in with speed. And I'm going to ask you a question. How many board battles have you seen Tanner Pearson lose?
Not a lot. That guy's got a steel stick.
Exactly.
I always say it. So heaviest stick in the league.
If Garland is applying pressure up front, and Garland, in his own right, can cause some turnovers being that F1, right? Like, that guy's motor, he can cause some turnovers doing that. Tanner Pearson's your F2. He's along the boards, right? And, again, it depends what kind of system Bruce Boudreau wants to do, but let's assume for a second that he has the two forwards going in deep, right? Pearson's going to be cheating a little bit to the boards, but it's going to be Garland basically as the F1 in this play in my mind. And then Tanner Pearson's going to be along the boards. Bo Horvat as the last man back coming through. Guess where he's going to be, Chris? If Tanner Pearson or Connor Garland causes a turnover, Horvat's going to find himself alone in the bumper spot.
Call it the Horvat hole.
The slot, exactly. He's going to be right in the high slot. Horvat can pull the trigger from there. Horvat's my trigger man on this line. I like the idea of Pearson, Garland, and Horvat as a trio. For that reason, try and poke some holes in that. You can't.
No, I mean, that one's good. I think that line, I like that line. I like that trio a lot.
Okay,
like I said, mine are all different, which is good. I bet our fourth lines are different, too. So what's your fourth?
My fourth line is Dakota Joshua, Curtis Lazar, Nils Höglander.
So
Jason Dickinson's out until proven otherwise.
Okay, fourth line's going to go out in there and bang, I think, a little bit. You know, you got three guys there, pretty good on the forecheck. A little bit of offense there, too. I think Lazar and Höglander, I think a lot of people have talked about that pairing where, you know, because we kind of get to the point now where Höglander looks like he's going to be on the fourth line. He's on my fourth line as well.
Yep.
Might be interested to see if he can get a little bit of offense there. Lazar's a guy who has shown that he can shoot in the past. Höglander's a guy who can create a little bit of offense. It will be interesting to watch that duo, I think, because I have a good feeling they're going to be together as well next year.
Yep.
All right. No questions there.
Good.
Is Joshua going to kill penalties?
Joshua is going to kill penalties. Joshua and Lazar is probably a penalty-killing unit. And then Mikheyev and Miller, whoever you want. Miller plays too many minutes. I'm sorry. Pettersson and Mikheyev is probably my first unit. But let's not forget who's coaching this team, Chris, because there's about six duos of forwards. I think we're going to see Brock Besser killing penalty. I think this is probably the year where Vasily Podkolzin starts to kill penalties.
It better be the damn year where Podkolzin starts killing me. You know, he's done it so much that it's like, he's got to kill penalties.
Kuzmenko, can he kill penalties?
No, he's not a penalty.
Okay, so that's fine, but you still have those six forwards that you can go with. You've got, you know, you could put Miller, Podkolzin, you could put Pettersson, Horvat. We saw that duo have a lot of success. You have Ilya Mikheyev, who's an elite penalty killer, right? Yeah. You've got a lot of options if you're Bruce Boudreau. It's not going to be the same song and dance
Tanner
as it was
Pearson,
last year.
Tanner Pearson, how could you forget? With Pearson playing in a bottom six role now, he's a guy that I think you want to rely on even more this year for penalty killing.
Yeah.
I do think that like I can see Pearson Lazar being a second unit that goes out there all the time.
Chris,
like I can see it start with either Miller and Mikheyev or Pettersson Mikheyev. Like I think that's a really good option. Or is this a time where we start to see Podkolzin move into taking faceoffs more?
Yeah.
Do they want to work on that this year? Cause like, even if he's not playing center, I think that watching Podkolzin develop, like, just the ability to take faceoffs is something I'd like to see this year.
Okay, I've got in front of me the Canucks' best lineup from last season, and we'll compare it once you're done, but you go ahead.
Sure. All right, I'll start with my Pettersson line off the top. I'm going with Vasily Podkolzin at left wing, Elias Pettersson at center, Brock Besser on right wing. Because when I look at this team and I think looking at how players are going to progress, I think Pod Colson has a good chance to be one of the best playmakers offensively this coming season. And I think you want to play a guy like Pod Colson who's digging out pucks, making really good passes, always just has a good vision for the ice in the offensive zone. Put him with your two best quick strike offense players. And Pod Colson, Pettersson, Besser is what I would go with for my first line. And like I said, I'm also banking quite hard on that Pod Colson takes a huge step this year. And honestly, like, I really, really liked Pod Colson's play with Pettersson last year. I think there's times where we saw the Höglander, Pettersson, Pod Colson line. Really liked what that was. And I think if you're getting a good Brock Besser, that trio is something I'm big time into. Pod Colson, Pettersson, Besser. I just think that the smarts on that line offensively is something you really want to build off of. And I think you want to go with that line against other teams' top lines as well. Match them up and see what you can do, because you have good trust in Pettersson defensively. You have good trust in Pod Colson defensively. And like we always talk about, Brock Besser, I think, pretty underrated defensively as well. So you're feeling pretty good going up against top lines with that trio. And the fact that you're going up against top lines of that trio really opens up for what you're going to see on the second line, where JT Miller was a 99-point player last year. He's going to center a line with Ilya Mikheyev on the left wing and Connor Garland on the right wing, because I just think that Mikheyev's speed combined with Garland's like agility is going to make for a lot to deal with in the offensive zone. And then you're going to have JT Miller just setting up shop and being the guy who gets a lot of those Garland passes. I liked Miller and Garland last year. I think they worked well together. You look at 5-on-5 production for duos last year at the Vancouver Canucks. They're near the top for forwards playing together. So I'm going to go with that trio there. I think even like quick strike offense is going to be great, because Mikheyev is going to be able to, the guy who can beat a defenseman with just his pure speed, and then find Miller for the finish, find Garland who can finish a lot of different spots. So that's my top six. Any questions in the top six there?
No, I think, like, obviously I like my lineup more, but right. Your lineup's fine.
I like the Pod Colson fit more than Mikheyev. That's the difference that I think we have in our lines here, is like I think Pod Colson is a better player to play with the smarts of Pettersson and Besser. And I'm banking on Pod Colson taking a step. And I'm not saying Mikheyev's not a smart player. I just think Pod Colson does think the level at Pettersson and Besser, specifically Pettersson. That's the reason why I'm going with him instead of Mikheyev there. Because I think Mikheyev is going to just bring like a little bit of... the speed is kind of something that you don't really... You can't prepare for speed, right? Like, you can't... Speed is just going to be able to just surprise you at times. That's why I'm kind of going with him on, like, a scoring JT Miller, Connor Garland line, where the agility and speed of Garland works well with Mikheyev's overall speed and Miller. So I'm going with that as my pairing there. So, yeah, any questions? Top six, what do you think? You're good with it.
No, I like I said, I like mine more. But I think that's a solid top six. Like, the thing is, Chris, no matter what line combinations we throw out there, and there's a lot, let's not kid ourselves, there's even more than what we've outlined, they're all pretty good. Like, the Canucks are going to have a good forward group.
I just, the big, like, bugaboo that I had with yours was that, like, I'm not throwing Kuzmenko in the top six. I'm not playing Kuzmenko with Pettersson or Miller to start. He's got to do something in a third line role to be like, oh, you know what? He does deserve top six time. I think Pod Colson's done more than Kuzmenko at the NHL level to deserve top six. I think Mikheyev's also done more to deserve top six over Kuzmenko. You know, I feel like your lineup's banking on Kuzmenko being a top six player, and I think that's a lot to
ask. I'm also viewing it as not really a top six. Like,
right.
I like Kuzmenko because of his neutral zone defense, which I don't think he's going to forget how to do when he comes to the NHL, right? Like, is it fair to say that? I'm not viewing this as a 1-2-3. I'm viewing this as three solid lines that can hurt you in any area of the ice, right? Like, all three of those lines are relatively defensively responsible, right? Like, Kuzmenko, I'm looking a lot more in the neutral zone, admittedly, but I don't know if I like Mikheyev and Garland together. That's probably my only gripe, is Mikheyev and Garland being on the same line. I don't think I like that.
I think
that's a line that looks, that does a whole lot of nothing.
Offensively, defensively, what are you saying?
Offensively and defensively. Really? Well, not defensively, because
Garland,
Mikheyev's solid.
Garland might be the best creator of offense at 5-on-5, and Mikheyev might have the best single skill of just being able to break offense at 5-on-5.
Yeah, but sorry, you're saying Garland's the best creator of offense at 5-on-5, but...
I think smart-wise, set up in the offensive zone, he's one of them. And he proved it last year at this 5-on-5 points.
Yeah, but I don't know. Is he setting up Ilya Mikheyev, who's notoriously not the best finisher?
Yeah, and JT Miller, who was the best finisher last year.
Or are they setting him up? That's what my question is.
I think that the question I have with that line is, how does Mikheyev fit in? How is his playmaking, right? Because he's got to be a good playmaker to play with Miller.
I think Mikheyev fits better with Pettersson.
Yeah, I'm not there with that one. I just don't think I know enough about Mikheyev. I think Mikheyev's
faster than Pod Colson.
Sure, yeah.
And that's why he fits better with Pettersson. I think you put the fastest guys with Pettersson and hope for the best.
I like when you're set up in the offensive zone.
And he's a smarter two-way player than Pod Colson. I think Pod Colson's going to take a step, Chris. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I still think Mikheyev, he's had more experience in the NHL.
Sure.
Not much if you look at games played.
Yeah.
But he's older. I like the thought of Mikheyev with Pettersson more than I do Pod Colson. And I like Pod Colson. I also think he's going to take a step. I don't think he's ready to play with Pettersson yet.
I think he's more of a Miller guy. I just think from his speed is going to be something.
And Pod Colson played with Pettersson last year, and he played pretty well, too.
They played very well together as a pairing. So I'm going with that. We'll see. My third line, Tanner Pearson's there, Bo Horvat's there, and Andrei Kuzmenko's there. And this is a line where it's kind of similar to what you said about like having a strong neutral zone play. Like, you're going to, if the puck is battled in neutral zones and it's, you know, a 50-50 battle, you're feeling pretty good about this trio. Offensively, yeah, you just hope that Kuzmenko, like, I think Kuzmenko, a lot of his first assists last year came from making that pass from behind the net into a guy who's in the slot, like Bo Horvat, who loves it there. Tanner Pearson's another guy who finishes a lot from passes behind the net as well. So I like the idea of Kuzmenko setting up offense for Pearson and Horvat. I think that's a trio I like in a third line role. Like, if I'm rolling minutes, yeah. This is the line I want out there the third most.
The Canucks penalty kill is going to be great next season. Like, that's what a lot of this is telling me is, like, I'm looking at these pairings. Well, yeah, but I don't know, man. I'm looking at it and it's just, where are you going to go wrong? Like, I like your lineup. Get to that fourth line.
All right, let's get, my fourth line has a little bit of a surprise on it. Nils Höglander is going to play with Curtis Lazar, but I got my dark horse out of camp, and he's making the team out of camp. Because I'm not on the... Every person in this city is just, like, drooling over Dakota Joshua. I've seen Dakota Joshua play, and I don't know if he's this third, fourth line guy that Jim Rutherford's talking about. I'm not 100% sold. I'm more sold on my boy, PDG, Phil DiGiuseppe, coming out and making the team on that fourth line. He can kill penalties. He's a big body. He's just as big as Joshua, okay? He's a little bit lighter, but he's just the same height and everything. Like, I think DiGiuseppe has a lot to prove. I think that's why he signed back here in Vancouver, was that there's a chance for him to go win a spot from camp. And I think he should at least put up a good battle. I think he's a better option right now than Will Lockwood. I think he's a better option than Dickinson from what we saw last year. I also have Dickinson as the 13th forward. I don't have Joshua as my 13th forward.
Can I give you a hot take, Chris?
Sure.
What's the identity of this fourth line?
Sneakily having some offense on a fourth line. Like, I think this is a fourth line where you play against other teams' fourth lines, you're hoping that you have a lot of puck possession. And I think you do with that trio. Like, look around fourth lines around the NHL. Do they have as much skill as a Nils Höglander, Curtis Lazar, and Phil DiGiuseppe? I don't know. I think there's a lot of really good offensive skill there. And listen, I'm not saying they're a top line potential, but as a fourth line,
yeah.
You are going to get long possessions in 4-on-4, like fourth against fourth matchups. You're going to get offensive possessions.
You like DiGiuseppe as an offensive player, right?
I like him as an offensive player and as a, like, and I think he can kill penalties. I don't know if he's, you know, the second winger going out there to kill penalties, but he's probably your third pairing guy.
They're going to have, like,
I would go Mikheyev, maybe Pearson, DiGiuseppe out there as well as options. Played a little bit of center last year in the NHL. I don't know if that's a spot where you need him, but
just probably take faceoffs because Lazar's not great in the dot.
So it's an option, I think, anyways.
So here's my hot take, Chris. Out of training camp, Nils Höglander finds himself on the outside looking in because Dakota Joshua and Phil DiGiuseppe both make this team.
Man.
And they're playing with Curtis Lazar.
That's a hot take, eh? You think he's, like, going down to the A?
Okay. They have
no problem sending him down to the AHL.
Exactly. So that's where it comes in. But I also think that, one, doesn't help him develop. I don't think the AHL is going to help Nils Höglander much. Okay. Two, I think it sends the wrong message to the player. I don't think he's on board with that, especially after, dude, the guy's played two seasons in the NHL, right? And even if maybe he was rushed a bit by the last management regime and coaching staff, I get all that, whatever. But I look at this and say there's a scenario where Dakota Joshua, Phil DiGiuseppe both make the team. And they're extra forwards or whatever. And maybe Dickinson's the other guy in there, right? There's a world, Chris, where Nils Höglander is in the press box for more than just a game in favor of a Dakota Joshua, Curtis Lazar, and Phil Giuseppe line. And if that line starts to click and starts to work, Chris, you're looking at a world where we have to start talking about Nils Höglander going to the minors.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, I know what you're saying.
And they've got the depth, right?
Yep.
They've got the depth.
That's the thing that this forward group is kind of, the way, not even just this forward group, it's the structure of this team, the way it sets it up. Like, there is totally a world where Höglander could get down to the minors to start the season. You're right. Like, listen to the way that they're talking about Dakota Joshua. What Rutherford said he could play, he's going to be on their third or fourth line. Like he said, he'll be on our third or fourth line.
Yeah. I don't know if Rutherford's throwing up line combos, but who's he bumping down?
I don't think they're throwing Dickinson to the minors, because if you do just send Höglander as well, there is no cap ramification. If you send Dickinson, you're absolutely burying up money for nothing. You don't have a player on your roster because of it. And like, Dickinson's still an NHL player to a certain degree. I don't know. We'll have to see next year, I guess. But yeah, to me, like, looking at this forward group, it's almost like, you know, in MLB lately, they do four outfielders sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, at the time, this, it just feels like the way this roster is built for the Canucks, it's like they're always going with four outfielders. Like, they need to be able to put some players on the infield. Listen, having four outfielders works a lot. There's a reason why MLB teams do this. It's a lot of players hit a lot of fly balls, and you get a lot of easier outs that way. Or you're able to shut down, you know, the alleys, and you're able to hit the gaps with these four outfielders, and it works well. But it also opens up a very big weakness on your infield. And to me, it's like the infield is now a man short. It's similar to what the Canucks defense corps looks like, where, yes, there's a huge strength, and to compare it to baseball, it would be like chasing down fly balls. There's a massive strength when you have four outfielders out there. But they need to be able to transition back to having some defensemen and put that, like, a move needs to be made, because we look at these lines, we're feeling really good about it. You know, we just talked about maybe even, like, a player as skilled as Nils Höglander not being able to make the top 12. And, like, I don't think either of us, both of us have him in our lineup. We both have Höglander playing on the fourth line. But you're right, like, it is a hot take that's possible that Höglander is.
Yeah, I'm not even trying to say that I think Höglander should go to the minors, because my lineup has Höglander.
Both of our lineups have him there.
But I flat out forgot about DiGiuseppe. Like, DiGiuseppe, I think you're right, could make this team. And I don't think, with the way I've heard Dakota Joshua being spoken about, that, like first of all, I guess the only discrepancy I have is based on the messaging that I'm hearing and how high they are on this player. I don't see Dakota Joshua, because Bruce Boudreau's consulted on this stuff as well. I don't see Dakota Joshua not playing on the third or fourth line out of camp. I see him ahead of DiGiuseppe, but I also see DiGiuseppe there. He's so then the question then becomes, who's your guy out? I would stick with Höglander being over DiGiuseppe. I'm not going to lie, I think DiGiuseppe's this team's 13th forward.
Sure. I think Dickinson's there.
I think Dickinson's 14th or in the minors. No,
sometimes there's always so much talk in the offseason about some players. I just think Joshua's like, yeah, they're really excited for him to do. I don't know if he's
okay
for sure an NHL player. Like, to me, Dickinson might be more of an NHL player, because like, maybe you got to see a little bit more from him. But yeah, it'll be interesting to watch how this one plays out. There's obviously so many options, and like, we didn't even really mention like Will Lockwood there too. Like, remember how good he was at camp? A year older, a year more veteran in him. If he has that similar type of style at camp, you think Boudreau's going to see that? He saw him for a little bit last year. Like, he's got to be able to produce at the NHL. That's his thing. But if he has a camp like he did last year, he's got to push for a spot too, right?
Not going to crap on any players, but no, this team needs size on the fourth line. They don't need a Will Lockwood. Like, you could make the exception for Tyler Mott, because he's Tyler Mott. But you're not clamoring to get Will Lockwood in because he tries hard. He's going to break down by game 20. And again, I'm not even trying to be, like, hard on a young player. I haven't seen it from Will Lockwood. Like, I don't want to crap on anybody because he's, like, a nice kid, but it's just...
He is what he is,
and I see Phil DiGiuseppe and Dakota Joshua being ahead of him. I think the best scenario for Will Lockwood is going down to the minors and developing some sort of scoring touch, right? Like,
sure.
I don't think you don't want Will Lockwood's ceiling to be a worse Tyler Mott.
Yeah, you're right. And I think just from what we saw last year, though, like, he was so...
Is he beating out Höglander?
Höglander tries
hard.
Yeah. It depends on the style. Like, I do think that his style, the way it's going to show in camp, the way it's going to show in preseason, there's always a story of a guy pushing so hard, you know, even having a really good camp and playing well in preseason.
Yeah, I'm
like,
sure
Alex Chase
try hard. Yeah,
sure, he is. Is he going to show that well that he, like, the way that you're talking about, he's not even in the conversation with Joshua DiGiuseppe. Like,
Dickinson,
to me, he is.
I think Dickinson's over Lockwood.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I don't really rate Dickinson. Like, Dickinson's my 14th forward. I have Lockwood firmly in the minors. Developing, because I don't think it's a lost cause with him. But I don't think it's, can Will Lockwood play on this team's fourth line?
No, and he's a player where it's like, hey, when injuries start to happen, there's an injury in the top nine, right?
Sure. Let's
say that happens.
There you go.
Hoglander goes up and plays in the top nine somewhere. Like. Now you're like, hey, you know what? We have a guy that we like as a call-up. When the hell is the last time the Canucks are able to say
that? Yeah, exactly.
They have not been able to say that for 5-10 years. To say, oh, you know what? Now that there's an injury, we feel good about this player coming up.
There's a young player coming up.
Yeah, we have a 24-year-old kid in Abbotsford who, yes, his scoring's taken a step. He's still the same player who wants to bang and get to the NHL level. Like, yeah, I think that's the spot where he's going to find himself after camp. But I'm just saying, like, we saw the impact that he made at training camp last year. He is the type of player who shines in those things.
So is Nils Höglander.
This is true, too. And I think DiGiuseppe is in the same camp as well. So to me, the battles, and it's the difference in both of our lineups of the 12 players. You got Joshua, I got DiGiuseppe.
Yeah, we talked mostly about the fourth line when we talked about the lines. But I want to say, Phil DiGiuseppe impressed a lot in training camp last year.
He was good,
to the point where it was a shocker that he was sent down.
It was funny to see how good he played. And then, you know, like I remember training camp where I like didn't notice Sheldon Rempel once.
Yeah.
And then he goes and has the season that he does in the AHL and like, now he's off with, I think, LA, I think he might be with. I forget who he's with, but they got Sheldon Dries back. So, like, they're that top line out there in Abbotsford. I'd love to, next week I'll do some Abbotsford. Like, I'm going to do that for Canucks Army, do a projection of the Abbotsford lineup. We'll do some Abbotsford talk next year because it's going to be a very different look out there in Abbotsford.
Next year.
Are we going to see a C on somebody's chest in Abbotsford?
Next episode? Next week?
No, Abbotsford. We'll see.
Well, you said next year. We'll talk
about
Abbotsford.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the team on the ice.
Year.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, next week we'll get to the defense, too.
We'll do the defense, we'll do the odds. We got some things
to talk
people
about.
People are taking their sweet time off here. They're down at Kitsilano Beach. We're in here podcast. I'm sweating.
Dolly Wall's at his beach house.
Oh, my goodness.
In Maui.
Yeah, no, not me. I'm here sweating it off in the studio here. This is, we got two little AC units going. They're not like...
Shout out Dolly Wall, who trolled Francesco Aquilini on Twitter.
Dude,
oh
my
gosh.
I texted Dolly Wall right after that. He said,
What did he say back to you?
I was like, Dolly Wall, you're hilarious. Like, what a troll, right? For people that don't know, Francesco Aquilini had a, he says he was hacked. I don't know by what, like his pocket. See, like, you know, we've seen that when it happens. Sometimes you open up your phone and it's writing a text to someone with a bunch of letters. So he had that with a tweet. But it was like in response to Ian Rappaport.
Twice, which
who's like a NFL.
Yeah.
Guys, so yeah, I don't know if he was hacked, but then Dolly Wall replies with one of his drunk letters. I texted him, I said, I'm like, Dolly Wall, you're hilarious. Like, he's the best. Dolly Wall literally is the best. And then he responded something about, keep up the good work, you and that Squadrelli kid over there. Like, love the Squadrelli bit from Dolly Wall. That's hilarious.
I don't know where that came from. I hope he knows my actual name. All right.
Not sure.
Yeah.
We'll really have him back eventually.
We'll have him back soon.
I've been pushing. I just say, like, I got to get a bucket list item for the summer. Get out for drinks with Dolly Wall. Come
and
on.
Donnie and Dolly.
Yeah, Donnie can come too. But the Dolly team. Wall.
And Ryan. Ryan's got his hands full with a new boy. Shout out Ryan Henderson. Good for Ryan. Just shouting out the entire Donnie and Dolly staff.
No, but I'm saying I want to get Dolly out on some Crown Apple.
Yeah.
Which you're a fan of. Yeah. I'm a fan of.
I don't drink it as much anymore. It was kind of my drink when I was just starting out. But I can handle it.
Now you're a vet.
Now I do basically anything.
Yeah. No, I heard about you the other night. Four drinks in and you're...
No, it was a lot more than four.
All right.
All right. We'll close it out.
Close
there.
It out.
All right. Shout out Cody Sievertson. That's all I'll say. All right. For my co-host, Chris Faber, my name is Dave Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The playoffs are near and we have an army. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Vancouver's playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup. Shop the exclusive We Have an Army playoff tee and more at nationgear.ca.